Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
One major issue, John, that's gotten little attention on the campaign trail is Iran. U.S. foreign policy for nearly 30 years has been trying to isolate Iran, today trying to prevent the country from developing nuclear technology and funding terrorist activities. Despite hundreds of millions of dollars in intelligence efforts and years of sanctions, the United States and the international community has struggled. But a plan hatched 2 years ago by a minor undersecretary in the Treasury Department seems to be having a serious impact. Robin Wright tells the story in her article, Stuart Levy's War, in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine. Welcome, Robin.
Good morning.
Tell us about Stuart Levy's little idea.
Well, Stuart Levy was having breakfast in Bahrain and noticed a headline in a local paper that a major Swiss bank had cut off business with Iran. And it gave him an idea to try to tap the private sector for the first time to widen the sanctions effort. Governments traditionally tap their own actions. They're limited in their own bailiwick to try to squeeze a country financially. And so he began a campaign to get the world's major financial institutions to stop doing business with certain Iranian banks that were linked with financing parts, the military and other branches of government that were associated with weapons of mass destruction, particularly missile programs, nuclear technology, facilitating funding for terrorism groups. Mm-hmm. And this has had a very unusual impact.
Well, he certainly gave a new meaning to follow the money. Do you want to lay out the challenges and why Dubai has been key to the latest developments?
Well, Dubai is the big hole in the U.S. effort. There are now more than 80 international financial institutions that have cut off business with Iran's major banks, and this has had an extraordinary impact. But what's happened is that many of Iran's businesses and banks have simply started doing business through Dubai, one of the seven emirates in the United Arab Emirates that's just across the water, the Persian Gulf waters, from Iran. And that has given them an outlet. So, for example, people who import to Iran will and haven't been able to do business because their banks have been sanctioned, have moved to Dubai, opened local bank accounts, imported goods to Dubai, and once they get there, they turn them around and just reship them to Iran. That's one of the many ways that Dubai is being used.
Well, does that end up nullifying the entire program? And I guess what surprises me most about your article, Robin, is with all the frozen assets that we're talking about in the policies of U.S. sanctions against Iran, that this hasn't been tried before.
It is very interesting, isn't it? But again, it's usually governments are limited to the leverage they have. And this involved not only going to other governments and saying, look, we want to talk to your banks. And a lot of governments were very annoyed or suspicious about what U.S. intentions were. And then convincing the banks themselves. And it took several visits. Stuart Levy has done dozens of visits around the world to talk to institutions to try to lay out a plan that your banking is only as reputable as your clientele's practices. And
that's, you know, what did it? That's what encouraged the cooperation that the Treasury Department is seeing now with, 80 countries?
More than 80 financial institutions. What's really surprising is that there are so many banks in Muslim countries, such as Bahrain and Malaysia, as well as China, which has become a major importer of Iranian oil. But as China wants to be part of global financial institutions, it has to meet certain standards. And so the United States has not only convinced major banks, but also convinced the International Financial Watchdog based in Paris, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, which includes the world's 30 largest economies, to warn Iran and warn about doing business with Iran. Right. And this has had a rippling effect.
So the leverage is clear, but it's also clear inside Iran, Stuart Levy has had an effect because he's described as this, you know, wild Zionist demon traveling the world trying to thwart Iran at every turn. That's an indication that the Iranians have paid attention here.
It also comes at a time that Iran's own economy is in real trouble. President Ahmadinejad has engaged in some populist policies that have backfired. He mandated, for example, Iran's banks to lower their interest rates to 10 to 12% at a time that its own central bank was warning against it because inflation was officially pegged at 30% and believed to be higher. And produce has tripled in prices in the last couple of years. Iranians gripe that housing prices have doubled. As we live through our own banking crisis, you can begin to see more clearly why this kind of program actually might have an impact. Now, it's not going to do anything overnight, but it's certainly done more probably than any single thing we've done over the past 30 years.
Robin Wright, we thank you so much for that preview. And you do talk about some downsides to the policies. But for that, folks, you're going to have to read her article, which is in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine. And it's called Stuart Levy's War. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.